It's time for your North Iowa news on 95.1 The Bull for Thursday, October 12th. I'm Mark Pitts reporting. Funeral services for a Northeast Iowa 18-year-old reported missing and later found deceased begin today. Caden Ray Wilkin of Nashua was first reported missing September 29th after family members said the last contact he had with anyone was around 2:30 a.m. on September 27th. Authorities were conducting a search for Wilkin when the Chickasaw County Sheriff's Office received a call related to a missing male at about 5:30 p.m. on September 30th. The Chickasaw County Medical Examiner was called to the scene and confirmed the identity of the person to be that of Wilkin. Sheriff Ryan Shaver said no foul play was suspected in the death of Wilkin. Friends may greet the family from 4 to 7 p.m. this evening in the Nashua Plainfield High School Gymnasium. A funeral service for Wilkin will be held at 10:30 tomorrow morning, also in the gymnasium. Interment will follow at Oak Hill Cemetery in Nashua. Nashua Plainfield will dismiss classes at 1:30 this afternoon, and there is no school tomorrow, so parking lots will be emptied for those wishing to attend the visitation and or funeral. Hugeback Johnson Funeral Home and Crematory Olson Chapel in Nashua is in charge of arrangements. Online condolences for the Wilkin family may be left at hugebackfuneralhome.com. One person has died after a pickup struck a semi in North Iowa. The Iowa State Patrol says the wreck occurred shortly after 1:30 yesterday afternoon, about 4 miles east of Hampton. A GMC Sierra was westbound on Highway 3 when it crossed the center line and hit the front trailer axle of a Freightliner semi at the intersection with Lark Avenue. One person was killed in the collision, but the names of those involved have not been released. The Franklin County Sheriff's Office, Hampton Police and Fire Departments, Franklin General EMS, E&E Repair, Mason's Auto, and the Woodley Funeral Home assisted with the crash, which remains under investigation. A Charles City man has pleaded guilty to child endangerment. The Charles City Police Department responded to a report of family problems on September 19th. Their investigation led to the arrest of 33-year-old Johnny Sanders for child endangerment causing bodily injury, a Class D felony, and possession of drug paraphernalia. According to the criminal complaint, Sanders was accused of striking a 17-month-old child in the chest while also yelling at the child to stop crying. Police say a handprint was visible on the child's chest and it was red and appeared to be swollen. Sanders has pleaded guilty to a reduced aggravated misdemeanor charge of child endangerment with the drug charge dismissed. His sentencing is now set for November 17th in Floyd County District Court. It's been over 30 years since street signs were erected throughout rural Chickasaw County to better help agencies respond in emergency situations. Those signs, both 911 and intersection signs, are starting to fade and are in need of replacement. Who should pay for new signs was debated during Monday's Board of Supervisors meeting. County Engineer Roman Lensing said Secondary Roads paid over $12,000 to replace 258 signs last year and received an estimate of over $11,000 to replace 268 signs this year. He broke down the scope of cost to cover replacing all of the county's signs.
We have 2,684 of these street signs. With the ones we replaced last year and the ones that we have quoted, we would be at 19.6% replace, so about a fifth of them done. If we use the current pricing for the remaining signs, the total amount to replace those, not including, again, any hardware, equipment, or labor costs, you're looking at $94,236.16.
Lensing noted that, in theory, revenue from a county's E911 surcharge should pay for the signs, but a survey of other counties showed that to be in case in some counties, while others had secondary roads pay for the signs. Several used a combination of E91 to pay for the signs, with secondary roads installing the signs. The consensus of Chickasaw County supervisors is to pay for the new signs through secondary roads, with emergency management helping when possible to purchase replacement signs. It's Fire Prevention Week now through Saturday. Andy Hinchin with the Charles City Fire Department says this year's theme is Cooking Safety Begins With You.
Whether it be electric or gas or even over a campfire, a cooking fire is the number one cause of a kitchen fire. A fire can spread twice as big every minute.
With the heating season upon us, you're also reminded to not use your oven to heat your home. You should also make sure your furnace is clean and the pilot light is working properly. Shortly after 11:30 Tuesday night, Charles City Fire and Rescue responded to a furnace-related fire in the 1200 block of D Street. Upon arrival, firefighters cleared the residence to ensure no one was left inside and made their way to the basement. CCFD says the fire was contained to the furnace and did not spread to the rest of the basement. Also responding to the scene were the Floyd and Caldwell Fire Departments, plus Charles City Police, AMR Ambulance, and Floyd County Search and Rescue. The second of two public forums featuring candidates for the Charles City School Board and City Council elections is scheduled for tonight. The Charles City Area Chamber of Commerce and American Association of University Women are giving voters an opportunity to meet and hear from the candidates for the Charles City City Council election at 7 o'clock tonight. Six candidates are seeking three available seats. Incumbents Phoebe Pittman, Keith Starr, and Philip Knighton are seeking re-election, with Patsy Beaver, Joanne Robinson, and Joshua Newpert also on the ballot. The Chamber and AAUW hosted Charles City School Board candidates last night. In that race, there are two available seats, with incumbent Pat Rottinghouse running against challengers Bruce Kabrick and Dara Yeager. Current board member Janice Berglund is not seeking re-election. Tonight's forum will again be hosted at the Charles City Senior Center. The public is invited to submit questions for the candidates in advance and will also have an opportunity to submit written questions for considerations during the first part of the forum. You will not be able to ask questions directly to the candidates. Questions can be submitted in advance at info@charlescitychamber.com. More North Iowa news on the way on 95.1 The Bull.